Good Tuesday to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. For more than 2 years, you and I have been seeking to step into the story of the Bible very practically, to try and understand how God wants us to live it out in our personal lives, no matter our age or gender or where we live in the world, in the 21st century. I'm writing this edition of Walking with Jesus for this Tuesday a few days early. Why? Because if all goes well, I will step off an airplane in Tel Aviv, Israel, about midday today, along with 45 other people, and over the next several days we will tour the places of the Bible with our Bibles in hand. We'll be seeking fresh encounters with God in many places mentioned both in the Old and New Testament. While neither Ephesus nor Corinth are on our tour itinerary, will you join me again today in the great city of Ephesus in the mid-first century? Paul is there, and he's writing this letter we know as 1 Corinthians to his Christian friends in the great Greek city of Corinth, located just across the Aegean Sea from Ephesus. Paul had spent 18 months in Corinth, about 2 years before. He has received discouraging news from Corinth, which has motivated Paul to write this letter. Sadly, since Paul's departure from Corinth, things have deteriorated so that the ecclesia of Christians in Corinth is in great disarray, division, discord, and in some cases, living profoundly immoral lives. All this is causing other Corinthians to step back with no interest in Jesus. As we've followed Paul's writing of this powerful letter, he has poured out some very strong teaching, which is amazingly applicable to our day. So, let's rejoin Paul as he draws his 10th chapter to a close. Having discussed the careful use of a Christian's freedom found in a relationship with Jesus Christ, Paul summarizes with this strong challenge. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the ecclesia of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be drawn to Jesus and saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, 31-33. Now, as we look at that challenge through the lenses of history, we can see that's what Moses was trying to teach the delivered Hebrew slaves as they learned to live as a free people, but using their freedom to honor God. And that's why God gave them the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, something no other people on earth had, to guide them both in their relationships with God and with their fellow human beings. We can see it as why Joshua challenged the next generation to live God-honoring lives as they took possession of the land of God's promise and found themselves living among many different nations of people who knew nothing of Jehovah God, nor how to live lives with which honored God. That's why Joshua, at the end of his life, challenged the Hebrews with this powerful statement. Now fear the Lord God and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the idols your ancestors worshipped, and serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord and Him only. Joshua 24:15. Now, my friends, what would it require of you and me to faithfully live Paul's challenge? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Seems to me the first requirement is that we can discern what brings glory to God and what dishonors God. Can you? Then secondly, it seems to me we need to have a deeply rooted determination, not simply a desire, to honor God with every aspect of our lives at all times. That means every word we speak and every penny we spend, every soundbite we listen to, and every relationship we allow to influence us. What about that, my friends? And what about the ability to say no to anything or anyone which may draw our hearts away from a passion to honor God? Do you see a fourth challenge from Paul in his words, "For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be drawn to Jesus and saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." 1 Corinthians 10:33. Now that is counterculture living, isn't it? From the time we were children, we have all had a selfish streak in us, and we have a natural tendency to put our wants, desires, plans and agenda ahead of those of other people. But Paul calls us to fight that urge and place the benefit of others ahead of ourselves. Here's how Paul expanded this concept in his letter to his Christian friends in the city of Philippi. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. Now, my friends, how does that resonate in your heart? Do you see this at work in any other person or married couple? Do you see it in yourself? In closing today, do you see Paul calls us to the highest standard, the ultimate role model? Philippians 2, verse 6 to 7. In your relationships with each other, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, God the Son, Jesus, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The incarnation of Jesus, God the Son, is the ultimate step of humility, isn't it? And repeatedly, Jesus never retaliated against those who mistreated him. Always, Jesus attempted to help normal people understand God, experience an encounter with God, and take bold steps of faith to trust God. Paul then dedicated his life to follow in the pattern of Jesus, and Paul challenged the Corinthian Christians, and you and me, wherever we live in the world, to do the same. Can we? What's holding us back from living fully for God's glory? And here's a song to help us ponder these powerful truths, my friends.